Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Blog Talk Radio. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come to you week after week as we explore the Word of God together. As always, I pray that you had a great week and everything with you and yours went well. Tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of Ezra. We're going to be studying out of the seventh chapter. We're going to do verses 6 through 28. The title of the lesson is, What the Devil Set Up for the Bad, God Turn It Around for the Good. I hope you believe that in your life. Satan can't do nothing unless God allows him. God takes some of the things he tried to be in your way, and God uses it to turn it around for your good. But you got to know it's the hand of God to be able to pray, to appreciate it and to give God honor for what he's doing in and through your life. That's why we come together on Wednesday to study the Word of God so we can know God for ourselves. As always, I'm going to play a song, and once the song is over, I'm going to come back with prayer, and then we're going to explore the Word together. If there's anyone on the line who would like to sing at this time, you could press the one button and I'll cut on your mic. If not, I will play a song and then we'll come back and explore the Word of God together. This is a song I like so much. After the song, I'll come back.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I guess, for you. And sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh,
when you cry. Times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up. Don't give in, I'm right there in the middle. Yeah, yeah, pain, heartache, I'm right there.
Yeah.
there in the middle of your pain, yeah. I was there when they tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know you're right from wrong.
That's a beautiful song. In the words of the song, let us know that God is in the middle of everything. You know, sometimes you may be going through something in your life and you feel like you're all alone, or you feel like God is not hearing you, or God is not present and being near you. But, you know, most of the time when we feel like God is absent, it's not that God left us, it's that we are turning away from God. So we have to keep that in mind, because God is a faithful God, and he want to do everything for his children. At this time, if someone would like to pray and lead us to the throne of grace, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up your mic. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our healer, our deliverer, the author and the finisher of our faith, you're such a holy God, and you deserve all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And Lord, I just want to take time to say hallelujah unto your holy name. Lord, I thank you for this day that you allowed us to come together one more time to explore your words of God together, and allow the Holy Ghost to just give us illumination and revelation. And I pray that the word don't return void. I pray that you open every listener's ear, that they can truly hear what the Spirit has to say. I pray that they take the word that they receive applied in their lives, dear God, and grow in grace because of the knowledge of you. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one receive a blessing that they're in need in. Lord, I realize some may want one thing and others need other things. And even though I don't know everyone that's listening, but God, you do. And I'm asking that you bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Bless their homes, their children, their jobs, dear God. Their health, their finances, dear God. Be with them. As the psalmist say, when you didn't know the way, you led the way, dear God. I thank you for taking care of us, for removing dangers seen, and delivering us from the dangers unseen. And for that, we say thank you, and we give glory to your name. Lord, we done all showed up, and we are in position to receive a word from you. Heavenly Father, I come with a spirit of expectation that you will and your word will accomplish what you set it out to do. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. Well, since more callers can't call in, I want you to know the title of the lesson is What the Devil Set Up for the Bad, God Turn It Around for the Good. We're in the book of Ezra, the 7th chapter, the 6th through the 28th verse. And I'm going to go into the introduction. I want you to understand the importance of the book of Ezra. But before you could really understand it, we have to first visit some facts. You see, the Israelites was disobedient in the sight of God. He removed his hand from them. And God had a prophet named Jeremiah that prophesied in Jeremiah 25:11-12. God was giving them warnings. You know, God don't do nothing to you without warning you and revealing your ways and showing you your errors and trying to get you to turn. So Jeremiah in the 25th chapter, verses 11 and 12, it reads, God said, told Jeremiah to go tell them, the Israelites who were being disobedient. He said, this whole land shall be in ruins and a waste. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. See, that was a prophecy God made, that because they was being, you know, disobedient and dealing in idolatry and doing anything seeming that was right in their eyes. And the 12th chapter say, then after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation. You see, what God was saying, that they was going to be captured and be in bondage, but in 70 years he was going to release it. You know, prophecy is being fulfilled daily. So a part of that prophecy that went out tonight, you will see the prophecy being fulfilled. You see what happened after that? They entered into battle with the Babylonians, and they were under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar. You got to know this, though, because we always say God does what he wants with who he wants, for whatever reason he wants. God used Nebuchadnezzar to carry out his plan. He had taken his hand off the Israelites because of their disobedience. He placed it with him not being with them. Usually when they went to battle, they would lose. So God allowed, that's what I was looking for, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to attack them. And what Nebuchadnezzar did, he invaded him. He conquered and deported Judah and Jerusalem. And then he proceeded to completely destroy the temple. He took all of the artifacts, the Ark of the Covenant, all of gold and the silver instruments. He took everything. He left the town in ruins, and he destroyed the wall. And then he deported most of the remaining residents that was in Jerusalem to Babylon. You know, we know, we are very familiar with the Jews being in bondage in Egypt. You know, is very well known. And the next well known bondage is Babylon. You see, Nebuchadnezzar served as God's instrument of judgment on Judah and in Israel for their idolatry, unfaithfulness, and disobedience. I want you to know tonight that God will use anybody and anything to accomplish his will for his glory. God is truly in control. So with that, I wanted you to know that this is how the temple, you know, plenty of things you read saying build the temple in Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem. You know, the Bible teaches us that even though plenty of the Jews today still haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, because God made them his chosen people, and he made promises to them, even in their disobedience and turning away and not accepting the Messiah. God says everything is going to be about Jerusalem. You know, when we die and Jesus come back to reign, it's going to be called New Jerusalem. They say when we look for Jesus to return, we have to look towards Jerusalem. And that's why they say Christians should be praying for Jerusalem. But this is how the temple in Jerusalem that was built by King Solomon. You know, King Solomon built that very extravagant, beautiful temple, but is now being destroyed, and they got captured by the Babylonian, and the Israelites is taken into captivity, and the prophecies say they will stay there 7 years. So that's a little history. Now, Nebuchadnezzar died, and the Israelites were still in captivity in Babylon. But watch this. When God got ready, he touched the heart of a new king, of Persian, that had the Israelites in bondage. And he touched the heart of that king to let them go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city and the temple. You know, the Jerusalem belongs to God. And when God get ready and he wants something to happen, it's going to happen. And I looked up a scripture that seemed really fit right here. It's a scripture for those who write, and coming from Proverbs 21:1. It reads, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Scripture, y'all, Proverbs 21:1. They say a king's heart is a stream of water in the hands of the Lord. He turn it wherever he will. So you think that's for presidents too? So we have to say that. We could say that Donald Trump's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and God will turn it wherever he will. So be encouraged, y'all. God is in control. Just as God didn't let the Israelites leave Egypt empty-handed, he also allowed them to receive all that was taken from them when they were captured. You see, this king, this new king is King Cyrus. God touched his heart and told him what he wanted to do. He wasn't an Israelite. He was the opposing king that put them in bondage, and God is now using him. You see, and the king, Cyrus, when he told them that they could go back and they could rebuild, he didn't let them go out empty-handed either. He gave them the stuff that was taken from them, all of the artifacts and the gold and the silver. Then he did even more than that. He gave them wheat for food, and he gave them cattle. If y'all read Israel, any other chapters, you'll see it's all in there. He gave them stuff, and he said, "Here, when you get there, you need something to make a sacrifice to your God." He said, "So I'm going to give you some bulls, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you wheat, and I'm going to give you the jewels, and I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you everything you need." He said, "And by the way, if you need more, go to the treasurer." Hallelujah. That should be enough to make you shout. You could see the hand of God all over it. So what they did, the altar was repaired. The foundation of the temple was rebuilt. But watch this. Here comes Satan. You see, when the Israelites were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, the wall, the city, the temple, and everything was destroyed. It was all down as God prophesied through, as Jeremiah prophesied what God had told him, that the city and everything would be in ruins. So when they left Jerusalem, none of the Israelites was there, and it was a city. You know, it was in ruins. But the Samaritans went there and started living. So here comes Satan. They done built the altar. They built the foundation. Here comes Satan. The Samaritans went there, and they began to occupy Jerusalem in the absence of the Israelites. And they wasn't going to let them come back so easy. So follow the plot. You know, like somebody say they have squatters, right? And they gave them so much opposition that it brought the construction to a halt. You see, the Samaritans had begun to live in Jerusalem, and they wasn't ready to give up what really didn't belong to them in the first place so easily. And besides the opposition from the Samaritans, I have to let you know that there was other reasons that crept in as well. You know, some Jews simply say that the timing was not right. But if you look in the book of Haggai, it lets you know that Haggai, the prophet, went and told him. He said, yeah, you're saying yet the time is not right for y'all to build the house of God, but y'all have built y'all own houses. You see, God had put it on the heart of King Cyrus to give them everything they would need and just go back and start building. But when they got back to Jerusalem, they start building their houses. You know, like we came from Katrina and everybody trying to get back straight. And really everybody was kind of concerned with just their own. That's how the Israelites was doing when God allowed them to go back to Jerusalem. They was building their own houses while neglecting God's house. You know, they came up with all kind of excuses. Then the work on the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped and it ceased. Now watch this. Work stopped. Some of the Israelites that had been in bondage in Babylonia that the king had let go, they decided after the work stopped, they went back to Babylonia. And some of them stayed in Israel and started building their own things and not paying too much attention to God's house. God always have a ram in a bush. So now come Zerubbabel, the new leader, and after several years without nothing happened, he came in. God's hand was on him. They start building again. Because remember, nothing was there but the altar and the foundation. And here comes Satan again. And some people came and said, let us help you build a temple. You know, they weren't really asking to help, but just find ways to hinder. You know, somebody that come to you that don't mean you no good and come as if they want to come and help, but they really don't want to help. So Zerubbabel told him, no, man, y'all can't help us with this because God gave the vision to King Cyrus. King Cyrus gave us the decree, and in the decree it says that we have to do it ourselves. So they got mad. And what they did, they like hired lawyers, and they say that they didn't believe that the Israelites was there, and they don't remember King Cyrus giving them a decree. Zerubbabel stopped the work, and the king at that time was King Darius. And he went to King Darius and explained the problem. And King Darius did a search. He found the letter, that decree that King Cyrus had did. And when he read it, it touched his heart, because King Cyrus said that God had told him this, and God told him that, and God told him to give him this. So he joined in. But you see, here we see what the devil tried to set up for the bad. God turned it around for the good. Now, they're going back the second time to build a king, the temple in the city. And King Darius gave them more than they needed to complete the job. Whenever God gives you an assignment, there's always provision. You have to know that in your life. God is never setting you up to fail. God take care of his, and you're one of his if you save, sanctify, and fill with the Holy Ghost. You see, Ezra was the second of three key people to leave Babylon for the reconstruction. Ezra. Zerubbabel constructed the temple. Nehemiah is our next book going to build the wall. And you don't hear about Ezra in the book of Ezra to the seventh chapter, and that's where we starting off now. So if you go to the seventh chapter, the sixth verse, the scripture, the 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 verse reads like this. It says, this Ezra went up from Babylon. And I hope you guys got an understanding of how the temple was destroyed, why the Israelites weren't living there, and the kings that was involved, that God touched their heart to let them go back and build, and all of the provisions that was turned over to them. Hallelujah. That's how God is doing in our lives. You have a lot of stuff that you didn't work that hard to get. Come on now. And you couldn't achieve some of the things in your life that you achieved. So you have to sit back and look at the hand of God, because that's the only way you're going to give him glory. Because you see, if you sit down and you look at the negative, you know, your vision is going to get cloudy. But if you could really give honor and glory to God for what he has done in your life, he's doing, and he promised to do, then God will get the glory. So I'm going to start again at the sixth verse, seventh chapter, sixth verse. It says, this Israel went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord, his God, was upon him. Here we see Israel is going to the king because the time is right for him to go back. And Israel is qualified when they say a ready scribe, not that he was a secretary, but he knew the law of Moses, which the Lord God had given to Israel. And, you know, they had been exiled for 70 years, so, you know, they had forgot them, and they start allowing the Babylonian ways and gods to influence them. So this is what's happening now, and this is what part Ezra's going to play in it. And the verse 7 says, and there went up some of the children of Israel, and the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethians unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Extortius the king. Now they're telling you what happened. And look what he look what look 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 what he's sending him. He's sending them with priests and Levites and singers and porters. And that Netophians is like priests or workers in a temple. The king, here is letting Ezra go, but he's giving him everything that he needed. Ezra made a request to go back, and the king has granted the request. That's what's in the 6th and the 7th. And the 8th say he came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of that king. For upon the first day of the 1st month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the 5th month he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God was upon him. And 10 said, for Israel had prepared his heart. Come on, y'all, listen at this. Israel had prepared his heart to seek the law of God, to do it, and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. That's in the scripture, second half of Verse 10. I want you to know that this was not Israel's first time going back to Jerusalem. He went back the first time when the rebuilding came to a halt. But Israel returned back to Babylon, Babylonia. And you could ask yourself why. Maybe he had a good position there. Maybe he had a little power there. But he went back. But you see, right now, when God get ready, the time was right for Israel to restore worship. We see that Zerubbabel went to build a temple. We see that Israel is going to restore worship. The temple was rebuilt, and the people were still holding on to customs of their neighbors around them. You know, a lot of idolatry, worshiping other gods. So what Israel did, he made a request to the king of Persia at that time, and since God was in the play and turning it around for their good, the king, God touched that king's heart. That's the same thing that the book of that I told you about, the king's heart being in the hand of God, Proverbs 21:1. Here you see it again. Here you see it again. So he granted the request. You got to remember where God guides, he also provides. Ezra wanted to do the thing for God. He had them prepared his heart. Some of y'all can't get what you want, or some of us, never say y'all, us, can't get what we want because we don't prepare our heart to seek the word of God and to do it and then to teach it. You see, your assignment comes with provisions attached. There's a scripture that I love to read, and this probably, you know, was good for the Israelites. They say, but we have this treasure in earthly vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Excuse. You see right here, we see that the king extorted us, gave a commission to Ezra, like in writing, a decree, because he felt that Ezra had prepared his heart and was ready to do the job before him. Now, these are not kings. This is not Israelite kings now. These kings of other nations worshiping other gods, the enemies who were enemies with the Israelites. But when God wants what he wants, he have a way to get it from who he wants. And right now, I'm going to read these scriptures, and I want to just elaborate on them a little bit, because everything is right in these scriptures. If we start at 11 and we go down to 28, it looks like I just have the 26, but I got a Bible right here. So in verses 11, it said, "Now this is a copy that the letter of the letter that King Xerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the word of the commandments of the Lord and of his statute." Hallelujah. Now watch this. This is the king. Ezra made a request that he could go back to back to Jerusalem. And what his purpose was, going there to restore worship. And the priest and the king granted it. So this is what the king said. If you look at 13, "I make a decree that all day of the people of Israel and his priests and the Levites," y'all know the Levites was the people who worked in the temple. The priests was the priests and the Levites was the workers. He said, I'm going to start again. "I make a decree that all day of the people of Israel and of the priests and the Levites in my realm," he's saying in my territory, "what I have anything to do with, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee." He said, now, everybody that I have control over, if they want of their own free will, they could go with you. "For as much as thou art sent of a king and of his seven counselors to inquiring concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of God which is in thy hand. 15. And to carry the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. 16. And all the silver and the gold that thou cannot find in all the providence of Babylonia, with the free will offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for their house of their God, which is in Jerusalem." He said, everybody going to give y'all. He said, in another scripture, he told him, he said, you see the ones that don't want to go back? Because he actually told them in that decree, you could go on your own free will. But the ones who wouldn't go back, right here, he's telling them, y'all going to have to help finance it. I ain't going to make you go. But y'all going to have to help finance it. And 17, "that thou mayest buy speedily with this money." Now, they gave him money, and he told them to buy bullocks, rams, lambs with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, not mine, which is in Jerusalem. Come on, y'all. 18, "and whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren, do with the rest of the silver and the gold that do after the will of God." He said, I'm going to give you all of this. And it's probably more than enough. He said, but when y'all get through doing what you got to do for the Lord, he said, you do whatever else you want with that silver and gold. Come on, y'all. That's favor. That's favor. He said, number 9, "the vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God," not my God, "those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem." 20, and whatsoever more shall be needed for the house of thy God, which thou shall have occasion to bestow. Bestow it out of the king's treasures. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to let you go to the king's treasure, like somebody tell you to go to the bank and you know you ain't made no deposit, but you could be able to make a withdrawal. He gave him a line of credit because he, hallelujah, look at what God is doing for his people. Look at what God is doing. It's right there in the scripture. And then it goes on to say, don't forget that, y'all. He said, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Exerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whosoever Ezra, the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. He said all of the treasures. That's like every bank in the city of New Orleans. He said, I done told them whatever you require of them, it be done speedily. That's deep, y'all. If you ever want to know God and how merciful he is and how powerful he is, you have to study the Old Testament. And then number 22 says, unto 100 talents of silver and to 100 measures of wheat and to 100 baths of wine and to 100 baths of oil and salt without prescribing how much. Unlimited salt. Well, he said, I'm not going to describe how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the rim of the king and his sons? He said, I'm going to do what God say. Now, he say, y'all God. But he respected him. He knew his power. You know, he might have sat down and remember how he divided the Red Sea, and he might have thought back that he had heard the story about the Passover and all of the firstborn of the King Pharaohs and everything in their land that was firstborn died, and God delivered them through the waters. And he might have remembered how when they was going out, how they took down Jericho, and he might have remembered how they told a story, how they was won the battles in the war. You see, and he might have heard about the God of Israel. Come on, y'all. He might have heard about God's promise to Abraham and David, and he didn't want to get in the way, and he didn't want the wrath of God to be upon him, and he respected God for who he was. He didn't believe in God as someone who could save him, but he believed that God had power. And that's deep. You see, in 24 says, also recertify you that touching any of the priests and the Levites, the singers, the porters, the Netizians, our ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose tolls, tribute, customs upon them. And what he telling him? Take your hands off them. Don't ask them for nothing. Don't try to make them follow no rules. Don't charge them nothing. Hallelujah. When God set you up, you well set up. Look at the Word of God. And 25 say, and thou, Ezra, after the vision of thy God that is in thy hand, set magistrate and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, and all as such know the law of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. He's telling you're going to have a job to teach all those people, even on the other side of the river. And whosoever, 26, whosoever will not know the laws of thy God and teach them that know them not, and whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or imprisonment. The king making a decree for the God of Israel. And I'm now going to read 27 and 28, but I'm reading it out of NIV. And 20 say, praise be to the God, to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who had put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and the advisor and the king's powerful officials. Hallelujah. Because the hand of the Lord, my God, was upon me. I took courage and gathered leading men from Egypt to go with me. That was the actual letter that the king, the decree that the king made in Israel. Behalf. And you know, the king expressed that he saw the hand of God on Ezra. Can God be seen in your life? Can the Spirit of God be seen upon you? And I'm going to close with this. Here we see how the devil set it up for the bad, God turn it around for the good. Here we see the faithfulness of God. God made a promise. And you see, whenever the Israelites wasn't being obedient and doing what they wanted, God sent down punishment. But he didn't send it without a warning, because when we looked at Jeremiah 25, it prophesied that they would be captured. And God said after the 70 years, he was going to deal with the kings that had taken them. So God got your back. God got everything under control. You see, God promised Abraham that his seeds would possess the promised land. You know, they say Ezra is like a Moses. Moses delivered the children of Israel from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And now we see Ezra putting the icing on the cake for the Israelites in God's city of Jerusalem. You see, even though the Israelites was unfaithful, God still firm on his promise. No matter how much God do for some of us, it is never enough. God allowed a king to let them go back, and then they complained and built their stuff and left God's stuff undone. What is God allowing you to do and giving you, and the favor that he's showing on you, and the finances that may be a little more than enough for you, you know, and then you just take and, you know, take care of you and you forget about God. You see, God sent a prophet to tell them that what would happen because of their disobedience. God allowed them to be in captivity in Babylonia for 70 years, just as he allowed the Israelites to wander for 40 years. God removed his hand, but when he was ready, he turned everything around for the good, and it was nothing that was left out. Everything they needed, everything they wanted, everything that was necessary. You got to remember, Zerubbabel built the temple, but Ezra came in at this big time to bring back worship and to teach them the law and get God people to turn their hearts and mind back towards him in a new city he allowed them to get and to rebuild, and he allowed them to be back home, but they were still being disobedient, and God raised, well, sent Ezra back. I just want you to know as I close, if God said it, it will come to pass because he is truly faithful. Now, after Zerubbabel built the temple, you know, the first time when they went, they built the foundation and all to stop, and then they built the temple. But I want you to know they never built the walls, and then places in Jerusalem, even today, they have walls around their cities because it's like protection and it's like separation. But when they built the temple, they stopped doing what God had told them to do, and the wall was never built. So our next week lesson, which is on Jeremiah, God gave Jeremiah the assignment to go back and build the wall. So that's our lesson for tonight. We got a little time. If anybody would like to add anything, they could ask a question, they could pray, they could ask, okay, I have a caller, you can press your button. Caller, your number is 231-93. Your mic is open.
Oh, how are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Yes?
I actually pressed my button for the opening prayer, but updated my phone, and it's not working properly at all for me. But I just wanted to say that I enjoyed the lesson tonight on Ezra, and it's somewhat of a conviction for me when God gives you something to do and it's not done, you know, that it'll have to be continued on or done through another. So That's all I wanted to say. But thank you so much for the lesson. It was very good.
And I will let you, if you would like to, do the closing in prayer. I'm going to only look and see if any other lights are lit. And if none are lit, I'll let you just close us out with prayer.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions? Can anybody add anything to the lesson? Is there any words of encouragement? If you want to, whatever. Do you enjoy going through the books of the Bible? Are you learning it? How would I know where my students are? Because this is a Bible study. If I have no way of knowing. But, okay, call a 5-985-224-83. Your mic is open.
Praise be to God. I just want to say thanks to God. I want to thank you, Minister Dye, for this enlightening lesson tonight. It just gives us confirmation that God can touch anyone's heart. We should never feel that we're so far down that God can't use us or that we can't be forgiven and he can't change us. I also want to say I'm so happy you're back and that I pray everything went well with your follow-up, and it was just so wonderful to have you here back on with us tonight. Thank you, and praise be to God.
Thank you so much, Miss Joyce. Thank you so much. But I wanted to tell my listeners, I haven't went left yet, Ms. Joyce. I leave Sunday. I'm leaving Sunday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But I wanted to let everybody know and ask you guys to pray for me. I have to leave and go back to the National Institution of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. I leave on Sunday to go do my second year follow-up from the surgery that I had 2 years ago. Many of you was with me at that time, and you know all about it, and it's time again for a checkup. I will leave town on Tuesday, and if I'm lucky, I'm going to leave town on Sunday, and if all go well, I'll be back Tuesday night, so I'll still be able to do the lessons. But I thank you, Sister Joyce, for your prayers. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank God for you being my friend. I thank God for what he's going to do in and through you. In the mighty name of Jesus. So I'll talk to you tonight like we always do.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you. So is there anyone else who would like to say something? You could call, press, and sing a song. You could ask for prayer. Since there are no other things, I'll go back to minister. Minister Parker?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you please lead us out in prayer?
Yeah, let me just sing a little quick something of a little song.
Oh, we got time, baby. Do it.
Okay. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Father, it is in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, our soon coming King, Lord, that we say thank you, O God. God, we thank you for reminding us that you are such a good God, such a merciful God, such a kind God. And Lord, I know, I trust and believe that you have been good to all of us, O God. Lord, I thank you for the Bible study tonight. I thank you for my sister who diligently gets on the line every week with not just something thrown together, but something, a lesson that's Holy Ghost filled and inspired that encourages us to study and learn more of you and of your word. And I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you give her everything that she's standing in need of, especially a good report as she heads back to the doctor for her two-year checkup. Lord, I thank you for the traveling grace that's already given to her and bestowed on her, that she will get there safely, that she will be safe while there, and that she will return back to her home safely in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, for everybody who is on the line, God, you know who they are, and you know what the needs are. God, on their behalf, I say thank you, O God. I thank you for waking us up this morning, O God. I thank you for starting us on our way, God. I thank you that you protected us, O God, while we slept. And I pray that we all had a good night's sleep. Now, Father, it's almost that time again. Time for sleep, rest, and slumber. But God, as we close our eyes, oh God, let us remember that you are the one who keeps us, oh God. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. And God, no matter what happens on this planet, God, let us continue to look to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. God, we love you. God, we adore you. God, we worship you. God, we magnify your name. God, we praise you. God, we thank you for everything, everything that you have done for us. And God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't say thank you enough, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it is in the name of Jesus who we love. Let the people of God say thank you, hallelujah, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Parker.
Amen.
And if it's God's will, and if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. You guys know what the next book is, Nehemiah.
Yes.
And we saw what part Zerubbabel played. We saw what part Ezra plays, and we know we're going to learn and reflect on what Nehemiah do on next week. You know, you can read as much as you want to read about it. And everything that I said tonight, most of it was right there in the book of Israel. In the beginning chapters, they talk about what had happened and how they tried to discourage them, and they went to the big time people and told them they wasn't building legal, and they stopped them. And then they got the letter and decree from the king. See, devil could set it up for the bad, but that's just how God is turning around the things in our lives. So we have to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the word of God. This was right there within them chapters. So read and be blessed, because that's the only way you're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everybody be blessed and good night. God loves you, and so do I. That's our program for tonight. If God's willing, we'll meet back again on next week, and I know I will have a good report. Because I believe the report of the Lord. Be blessed and good night.